Welcome to the podcast of Vertical Life Church. We hope and pray these messages encourage and challenge you to find your glorious purpose in Christ Jesus. For more information, visit us on the web at www.vlchurch.tv.
Welcome, everyone. How are we doing? Awesome. I'm excited. This is week two. We're actually week 1B. Of our Kingdom Parables. We started the introduction a couple weeks ago, and this is part two of that series. So for those of you that are new, we want to say welcome, and you're not too far behind. We're just getting into a new teaching series on the Kingdom Parables, and if I could get somebody to hit the lights on in the back for me, that would be awesome. I just want to be able to sense the room today, and we had an incredible time last Sunday celebrating 10 years. Pastor Rick brought the fire, did he not? It was such an incredible message. If you missed it, you can go back online, and we posted it to our Facebook page. And we just encourage you to do that. And many people were still talking about the illustration that he gave. And I've hopefully in the near future have some more to come with that. So that'll be exciting. But he actually had surgery this week. He had a hernia repair, and was talking with him, and he said that it was a little harder for him coming out of anesthesia, but everything seems to be progressing well. So he would appreciate your prayers to continue to pray for healing. And we want to remember our faith family no matter where they are, because God, his power is still capable whether they're with us in person or not. Amen. Amen. It's great to see Nancy. Nancy, love seeing you come in. Still praying for you, and always looking for great and stories and testimonies. And just want you to know we love you and miss you when you're gone, and appreciate when you're here. As well, those of you that are guests, we again say welcome to you today. So I think the reason why Pastor Rick's message was so impactful is because the illustration he gave was a powerful word picture of kind of the truth that he was trying to convey, and that is the power of story. And stories have a way to connect with your heart, connect with your mind in a way that just telling you information doesn't really convey. That's why we like movies. That's why we like television, right? They communicate something, and it connects with us in a deep spiritual level. And this is why Jesus often talked in story as well, especially to reveal spiritual truths, to reveal things to people who would believe, especially regarding what he called the kingdom of heaven, or we talked about a couple weeks ago, the kingdom of the skies, right? This is this glorious thing that Jesus came to reveal to the world. And the last time we were together, just to kind of recap, we talked about how the kingdom of the skies or the kingdom of heaven, this coming kingdom, is the fulfillment of every promise God has ever made, even going back to Abraham. It is a literal kingdom with a literal king that will reign on earth forever and ever and ever. It will never end. It is the fulfillment of God's goodness. It's a restoration of the Garden of Eden, like living back here on the earth. And so it's this thing that the people of Israel have been looking for and waiting for and believing for, this physical kingdom with a physical king. And Jesus, in telling these stories and in his teaching, revealed that if you want to be a part of it, if you want to be a part of this kingdom that is coming, then it requires you to have faith like Abraham, to be like Abraham. You access it through relationship with God, not through religion. You access it through faith, not through keeping laws. And this is what the people of his day just didn't comprehend. Matter of fact, they thought because they were of Abraham's lineage, they were offspring of Abraham, they had Abraham's DNA, that they would just have a free ticket into the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus revealed to them that even though Abraham was in their heritage, in their family line, that Abraham really wasn't their father. Matter of fact, he says that Abraham's not their father because they weren't acting like Abraham. If you remember, he confronted them with some really harsh words. He says, if Abraham was your father, you'd be doing the same things Abraham was doing. But you don't have any room in your heart for my message. You're twisting my message to rejecting my message. Even you are trying to kill me. So no, you're not the children of Abraham, even though you share his DNA. You have a different father. Your father's the devil. because the devil is a liar and the father of lies, and he was a murderer from the beginning. And so if you think about what Jesus started off as, he's using Abraham and this whole issue with the promises to Abraham and the heritage of the nation of Israel, using that as a description of how we get into the kingdom of heaven, or what is the kingdom of heaven, that begs the question. Though we know the only perfect person on the planet to ever walk the earth is Jesus Christ, amen? Right? Everyone else is a dirty, rotten sinner. We know that, right? There's none righteous, no, not one. We've all made mistakes. We've got stuff in our lives. We've messed up. But it begs the question, right? If just having Abraham's DNA doesn't get you in, it's more about, you know, how you're living. It's more about your faith, your life. Here's the question. Does your life, your attitude, and your choices, how do they describe who your true father is? So Jesus' confrontation with them, he's basically saying, no, it's not about your DNA. It's not about who your parents were. It's not about what church you're a part of. It's more about what's on display in your life. And so if you think about that personally, does your life, your attitude, your choices, what do those things say about who your true father is? Jesus came to reveal the Father. Matter of fact, it says that Jesus only said and only did what the Father wanted him to do. Right? So if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus, because he reveals the Father's to us. Jesus is the Father's DNA. If you think about it that way. Right? So whose DNA is more on display in your life? Your Father in heaven or a different Father? It's a question. Right? It's an important question that we need to answer, especially if we want a share in the kingdom of God. Because Jesus said, you are truly my followers if you remain faithful to my teachings. And if you're faithful to my teachings, you will know what's true. And that truth will set you free. Free from what? Well, free from bondage to the other kingdom, the kingdom of darkness. You'll be free to walk into the kingdom of light, to be adopted into a new family, to have a new identity, a new citizenship, a new heritage, and a new inheritance. Did you know the Bible says, for those who have relationship with God, when the kingdom comes in its fullness, you will inherit everything God has set aside for Jesus Christ. And what is everything set aside for Jesus Christ? The Bible says all things. You get to share in the very inheritance that's set aside for Jesus Christ. That's incredible. That's incredible. Right? But there's this future promise, but there's also something available for you in the here and now. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have an overflowing life, a rich and satisfying life. Do you know what it means to overflow? It means not only are you filled up, but there's so much that you're now spilling out. And so God's blessings for you, his desires for you, especially in this kingdom reality, is for your life to be so filled with his goodness that it can't help but to spill out amongst everyone else around you, to have an overflowing life. And there's something available in the kingdom in this present moment for you and me. So today, as we finish this introduction, we're not going to be looking at what is the kingdom, but where is the kingdom. We looked at what is the kingdom last time. Now we're going to get into what is the kingdom and how can we access the kingdom now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we just thank you for your presence. God, your presence is here. Just sensing just the glorious presence and the peace of God just as we're in this time of worship, even before as we just gather in prayer. God, I just thank you for your glory. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that even during our worship, I just sense your presence moving amongst our people and seeing you move on the hearts of people. God, we just are here. We are so hungry for a word. We're hungry to know you deeper. God, we're hungry to know what is the kingdom of God and how do we live in the kingdom the way you desire, Jesus? How do we model a life that looks like yours so that when people look at us, they don't see us, but they see your glory living through us, God? So God, today we ask you to give us eyes to see, ears to hear, a mind that understands, and a heart ready to believe and receive everything you have for us. And if you're in agreement today, all God's people said, amen, amen and amen. So We're just going to jump in here. John chapter 18, verse 36. If you have your Bibles with you, you can turn there. We're going to jump around a little bit today, but we also have all of our notes on the YouVersion Bible app, so you can navigate there to the events page and follow along. But Jesus, on the day of his crucifixion, he's been tried, he's been beaten, he's standing before Pilate. Pilate's having this conversation with him, and Pilate asks Jesus a question because he's being accused by the religious leaders. That's why he ends up being killed at all. He asks Jesus a question. He says, "Are you the king of the Jews? Are you a king?" And here's what Jesus answers Pilate in John 18:36. It says, Jesus answered and said, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, my followers would have kept me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." What do you mean, Jesus? Right, or like we talked last week, the kingdom's a coming kingdom, right? There's an actual king. There's an actual place where the kingdom's set up. This is what all the Jewish people have been looking for and believing for. What do you mean, my kingdom is, your kingdom is not of this world? This is what everyone's been waiting for. Or is it? Or is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the skies, a kingdom? It's just not like the world's kingdoms, that it's something greater. So that phrase, of this world, somebody say, of this world. That phrase, of this world, can have multiple meanings. Like, it can mean actual kingdoms on the earth. If you think about the kingdom of Persia or the kingdom of Greece and all these kingdoms that were around at the time. But it can also represent a domain or realm of authority, like a jurisdiction. More importantly, the kingdoms of this world, they were under another authority. So if you think about the United States of America, the United States are made up of 50 states. Each state has their own government, their own courts, their own laws, their own rules. But these states also report to a higher authority. They report to the federal government. And so if you think about the spiritual world, this is how kind of the world is designed. It's true for the kingdoms of the world. Every nation, every nationality, every people group has their own kingdom. They have their own rulers, their own laws, their own court system, but they're all subservient to another kingdom rule, another realm of authority. And the Bible says that there is an authority over the planet, over the world, and it has a leader, it has a ruler who's called the God of this world, and that's the devil. The Apostle John, in one of his letters, says, if you love the world and the things of this world, then the love of God or the love of the Father is not in you. Is he saying, well, if you love the planet, then you don't love God? No, he's not saying that. Right? We should love our planet. We should take care of our planet. God gave man authority to govern and take care of the planet. So he's not saying if you love the planet that you don't love God. What he's saying is if you don't love the power that's in authority over the world, then you don't love the Father. And what is that? Well, the love of the world, he says, is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's the sinful natures, the things that we're tempted with. So the world doesn't represent physical things, but spiritual things. And John also wrote, again, if you love the world, if you love those things that the power that is authority over the world offers you, then the love of God is not in you. So this phrase of this world can be literal, but it is also spiritual, and it represents the powers behind the kingdoms of the world. More importantly, the power of the evil one. So when Jesus is talking to Pilate and he says, my kingdom is not of this world, what he's saying is, Pilate, my kingdom is not like the kingdoms you're used to knowing. My kingdom's not like what's in your head when we're talking about kingdoms, these kingdoms that you're used to. That's why my followers didn't fight for me. I mean, granted, Peter tried to cut the ear off of some guy, but that didn't work out very well. But his other followers didn't fight for him. There wasn't a rebellion. There wasn't this big scuffle that started when he was arrested. Why? Because his kingdom works differently. It operates by different rules. There's something else at play. And Pilate, you just don't understand, is what he's trying to say. Again, we saw that Jesus was always getting challenged by religious leaders in his day, especially when he was healing people and casting out demons. Like, the religious leaders of his day always got fired up about how Jesus did ministry. They're always in disagreement with him because he didn't do ministry the way they did ministry. And did you know that still happens today? Like, the people still argue over how you're supposed to do church. A lot of times those arguments are over music and music choices. I still get emails that talk about which bands and what music you should be doing and what music you should be avoiding and all this other stuff. I'm just like, guys, that's a 2,000-year-old argument. Give it a rest. But there's still argument over how people should do ministry. And these religious leaders in the time of Christ, they were up in arms because he didn't do things the way they thought he should. And one day, they start accusing Jesus as he's casting out demons. They start accusing him that he's casting out demons through the power of the devil. Like, how absurd is that, right? Like, I mean, just think about it. And Jesus thought it was absurd, and he answered them in a similar way. Luke 11, verse 20, Jesus says, "If I'm casting out demons by the power of God, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you." Somebody say among you. Right? So here's kind of that phrase again. We saw at the end of the message last time. This phrase among you means within your grasp, within you, or within your group. In other words, if I'm doing this by the power of God, then the kingdom is in close proximity to you. And there's a mystery he's beginning to unpack here about the kingdom. That there's a kingdom now, we know, is a future tense. But now we're seeing that there's a close nature about the kingdom. And he goes on to tell a parable about the kingdom of God, a story that illustrates what he means. But he starts by asking a few rhetorical questions to this absurd assumption. Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 17 through 22 says, "And he knew their thoughts." Pause right there for just a moment. Again, you have these religious leaders. They're accusing him of doing the devil's work by the power of the devil. And it says he knew their thoughts. Think about that for a moment. Jesus wasn't just very perceptive or acutely observant. He knew exactly what they were thinking. Matter of fact, he knew what was going on in the depth of their heart. That's only something God can do. That's only something God can know. Isn't it a comfort to know that God knows your thoughts, he knows your motives, he knows what's in the depth of your heart, the things that you try to hide from everyone else, and he still loves you anyway? Even when you're opposing him, he still loves you, wants good for you, believes the best about you. That's incredible. But he knew their thoughts, verse 17, and then he says, "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed." Another person, very famous person, said one time, "A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand." Abraham Lincoln ripped that off from Jesus. This Jesus is the first one to say it. "Any kingdom divided by civil war is doomed. A family splintered by feuding will fall apart. You say I'm empowered by Satan, but if Satan is divided and fighting against himself, how can his kingdom survive? And if I'm empowered by Satan, what about your own exorcists? They cast out demons too. They had their own guys going around doing the same thing, right?" It says, "They will condemn you for what you've said." Verse 20, but, somebody say but. I love the buts of the Bible. Because Jesus is saying, he's setting this up. He's giving this, like, this situation, like, this isn't good. Like, think about what's going on. But then he says but. So he's getting ready to flip the coin on them. But he's getting ready to turn it. He says, "If I'm casting out demons by the power of God," that phrase, power of God, can also be translated as finger of God. You know, demons try really hard to look big and powerful and unstoppable and create fear in you. And Jesus is casting them out with God's finger. If I'm casting out demons with God's finger, then the kingdom of God has arrived among you. And here's the parable. "For when a strong man is fully armed and guards his palace, his possessions are safe, until someone even stronger attacks and overpowers him, strips him of his weapons, and carries off his belongings." I like how the Gospel of Mark says it. He says in Mark 3:27, Jesus says, "Let me illustrate this further. Who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger. Someone who can tie him up and plunder his house. Someone who can tie him up and take his stuff right in front of his face while he's watching you." See, in this parable of the kingdom, Jesus reveals that the world is under the power of the evil one. Literally, the power of darkness. If you think about when Jesus was in the wilderness and he was being tempted for 40 days, Satan tempted him in several different ways. And one of the things he tempted him with was by giving him the kingdoms of this world. It says, look, all the kingdoms of the world, I'll give them to you if you just bow down and worship me. All the kingdoms of the world are under the authority and power of the evil one. So the strong man is the ruler of this world. The strong man Jesus is referring to is the devil. And the world is his kingdom. So think about it. Who can plunder the devil's goods unless he be stronger than the devil? You know, a kingdom's greatest asset is not its military arms or its money. The greatest asset of any kingdom is its people. The more people you have, the more resources you can accumulate. So the plunder that's being plundered out of the enemy camp isn't money, it's not wealth, it's not power, it's people. So who can plunder the devil's goods except someone who is stronger? What Jesus is saying is that someone stronger has arrived. This person is also a king, the true king of the Jews, the one promised to set captives free, to open blind eyes, to heal broken hearts, to overcome death and the grave, to free those who are slaves to sin and death. He has arrived, and he's bringing his kingdom with him. And he's been plundering the devil's goods ever since he arrived on the scene. And we see this in Acts 10:38. At the moment Jesus is baptized, the dove of the Holy Spirit comes down and rests on him. In Acts 10:38, it says, "You know, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with what? With power." So he's anointed with the Spirit, anointed with power. And what did he do? With that power, he went around doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by the devil. Since Jesus was baptized, he went place to place plundering the camp of the enemy. He's plundering the devil's camp. Why? Because the kingdom of God comes in wherever Jesus is. It comes in wherever Jesus is. One of my favorite games growing up, we talked about how kids today, they're corrupted and they change the name from Midnight Tag to, you know, Ghosts in the Graveyards, and they do all this, you know, this kind of crazy stuff. Well, one of my favorite games growing up that I played with my friends was Capture the Flag. I mean, you guys remember Capture the Flag? Yeah. Yep. Playing it outside and all that stuff was fun. When we'd play Capture the Flag, playing paintball, that was a lot of fun. And then we got some laser tag toys years ago, and our family would do Capture the Flag in our house, you know, and that was a lot of fun until things got chaotic and we almost had to call an interventionist, you know, to settle the tension in the house. But that's just a fun game to play. And I love it because you have to try to distract the enemy so that you can get into their camp and steal their flag and get back to your camp before they do the same thing to you. So it's like it's this back and forth. The difference in the kingdom, the spiritual world, the difference is that Satan can't break into God's camp and take his flag. But Jesus can break into Satan's camp and always take his flag. Look at John 10:28 through 30. It says, Jesus says, "I give them eternal life, these who believe and follow him. I give them eternal life. They will never perish, and no one can snatch them away from me." What's the greatest asset in any kingdom? It's the people. So no one can snatch the people of God away from Christ. And he says, "For my Father has given them to me, and he's more powerful." Somebody say more powerful. He's more powerful than anyone else. So no one can snatch them from the Father's hand. The Father and I are one. And so in this parable, Jesus says, the only way you get into the strong man's house to take his stuff and tie him up is if you're stronger. And Jesus is saying, look, I've been doing that to the devil because I'm stronger, and he can never do that to me. He can't ever take what belongs to me. He's not powerful enough. Only Jesus is strong enough to break into the devil's house. Only Jesus is powerful enough to tie him up and steal his stuff. Like, if you think about it, you know, Jesus one time goes into the temple, he creates a whip and he drives out the money changers, right? I think the whip is his choice. I think Jesus even used a whip on the devil. Jesus has been whipping and nay-naying ever since he showed up. And since he tied up the devil, he's probably like, watch me, you know? He's just like, I'm taking your stuff and you can't do nothing about it. Probably dropping a stanky leg there a couple times or two. God's got a sense of humor. I'd be stanky legging all over the devil's camp. But he's doing it every time he heals, every time he casts out a devil, every time he delivers somebody, he's taking the devil's stuff. And he's gaining ground and establishing his reign and authority over the territory that once belonged to the evil one. And you know, this is the same thing Jesus told his disciples to do. In Luke 10:9, he sends them out and he says, heal the sick and tell them what? The kingdom of God is near you now. He gave them authority and sent them out. And he says, go and do this thing, and you tell people the kingdom of God is here. It's near you. You see, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the story of his death and resurrection, it's good news, right? It's how we believe for salvation. It's how we begin a relationship with God. But the gospel is also the gospel of the kingdom that has been brought here by Christ and is in full swing. God is moving in power because the kingdom is moving in and taking ground. So when Jesus says to these Pharisees, the kingdom is among you, it's within your grasp, he can say that. Why? Because he's here. He's come. He's in the world. And while he's here, the strong man's bound. And he's able to plunder his goods. So the kingdom that God's promised is not just coming one day. It's coming in fullness one day. One day, Jesus is coming back. And he will literally be here. And he will set up and bring all things into fullness forever and ever and ever. And that's an amazing day. We sang about that. We're thinking about that. We're believing for that. We're hoping for that. It's an incredible day. But the kingdom is not just coming one day. It's already here, and it's taking root. And it's been taking root since and through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. Look at Matthew 11, verse 12. It says, from the time John the Baptist began preaching until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing, and violent people are attacking it. John came on the scene. John was Jesus' herald. Back in the day, he used to send somebody out to announce the coming of a king. You'd send someone out to the dignitaries of the nation and be like, hey, King so-and-so is going to come visit. Prepare for his arrival. That's what John's role was. He was announcing the kingdom. He was announcing the king. And then Jesus moves in and starts, you know, taking the devil's stuff. It's pretty awesome. But since John, the kingdom of heaven has been breaking in. And kind of the closest illustration I can liken this to is really the Ukraine and Russia war. Now, I'm not advocating sides. I'm not saying who's right and who's wrong in that struggle. Why? Because I don't think the government tells us everything anyway. And so I'm just looking at the situation for what it is. But the best comparison is that Ukraine was a sovereign nation. They had their own leadership, their own rules, their own court. They had their own nation until Russia broke in. And why were they able to break in? It's because Russia was stronger. And every day, Russia began to gain ground. And now Russia actually occupies and holds the majority of territory of Ukraine. News agents now say that the war has all been lost. It doesn't matter how much money America sends over there. There's no way that Ukraine is going to be able to take their nation back from Russia. And so if you were to travel to Ukraine today, wherever you land, depending on where you land, you would either see Russian flags or you'd see Ukrainian flags. But it's only a matter of time before all you see is Russian flags. It's only a matter of time. Why? Because Russia is exerting its dominance, gaining more and more ground every day. So it doesn't matter if Ukraine keeps fighting back. It doesn't matter if they win a battle here or there. Russia has already won and is declaring sovereign control over the nation. And it's only a matter of time before that's fully realized. So if you think about that now, the same is true for the spiritual war that we're in now. John was Jesus' herald. Again, he prepared the way. But something happened when Jesus died and he rose again. He conquered the enemy. And he declared victory. And he rose with all power and authority and all control. So there are new banners flying over the world. They're new banners. The battles haven't ceased. The enemy's still trying to hold on to the territory it once claimed. It's still trying to fight back. It's still trying to find a way to break in. But there is another kingdom that's moving in that's stronger, that's more powerful, and it's not going away. Matter of fact, Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And so the deal is that we're here to not just be defensive. We're here to occupy and advance. That's why we're here. Jesus in John 14:12, he says this, I tell you the truth. See, he told his disciples, his friends, not only will the truth set you free, but you're going to be empowered and released to do some incredible things. John 14:12, he says, I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I've done and even greater works because I'm going to go to the Father. What was Jesus doing? He was healing the sick and delivering all who were oppressed by the devil. He's around doing good and freeing those who are oppressed by the devil. And here he says, we're going to do the same works. Why? It's because it's now the kingdom of God that is empowered to continue to advance to take enemy territory and take ground. And we do these through the works and our faith in Jesus Christ. And he guaranteed this through his blood and through the sending of the Holy Spirit. After he tells his disciples in Acts chapter 1, it's not for you to know when the kingdom's going to come in fullness. He says, I know you're worried about the end of times. I know you're worried about how it all plays out. I know you're worried about when all these promises come. But don't worry about that. Think about this. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Focus on that. Focus on the coming of the Spirit, the coming of the promise, and the power you're going to receive. And why are you going to receive power? Acts 1:8, you'll receive power when the Spirit comes upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. You're going to receive this power. Why? So that when I send you out, you'll have the power and the authority to not only gain ground, but occupy the ground and keep it as the kingdom of God advances across the planet. This is what you focus on. And the question is why do we need that power to go to the ends of the earth? Because the goal of the church, the role of the body of Christ, is to continue the work Christ started, to do the same works that he's done. And think about it. If he's casting out demons with a finger, and each of us have been given a measure of power through the Holy Spirit, maybe you're a fingernail and maybe you're a thumb, and you know we all have a measure. Imagine what happens when the whole body comes together. What can God do with a fist that he could only do with a finger? I mean, this is the reality of the church. That's why Jesus said you're going to do the same and greater, because when we come together, there's more opportunity and there's more availability. So we need the power of God to advance the kingdom, to release the kingdom into the communities where we're sent to tell people about the gospel. And this is the thing. The Christian life isn't about just what you say or what you believe. The Christian life is about being a conduit for God's power to be released in the world. 1 Corinthians 4:19 through 20, it says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20, again, the New Living Translation says it this way, for the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk, but it's by living by God's power. So when Jesus is talking about the strong man, as he's opening this reality, this mystery through this parable to these Pharisees, what he's telling them is like somebody more powerful than the devil's come. And he's beginning to take ground, and he's beginning to plunder the enemy camp, and you have a choice on which kingdom you're going to be a part of. The kingdom of God, or continue to be blind and be entrapped into the kingdom of the enemy. And so the question is where is the kingdom? Well, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. How can we understand that? Well, I'm going to explain it this way. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of the skies, is wherever the love of Christ is on display and the power of God is at work. You want to know where the kingdom of God is? It's wherever the love of Christ is on display, and the power of God is at work. And if Jesus is in you, and Jesus is in me, and his life and his light is able to shine through, then the kingdom of God has already arrived among you. So as we wait for the fullness of the promises to come in, we can partner with Christ to bring the kingdom in, even into the here and now, just by walking in faith and letting his power flow through us. And that brings light to why Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer. It starts out, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven." It's not just for us to pray that these realities become so. It's to partner with him to bring them into fruition. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of the skies, is where the love of Christ is on display and the power of God is at work. The kingdom is coming, but beloved, because Jesus has conquered the grave and he sent us the Holy Spirit, it's already here. Theologians call this the now but not yet kingdom. There's a reality to live in now, and there's a hope for that's coming in the future time. So the more we live by the Spirit's power, the more we produce the fruit of the Spirit, and the more the kingdom of God can take root in our community and in our lives. And this is what we've all been invited into. And for the next several weeks, as we're looking at the kingdom, we're going to learn more and more about what this kingdom is like, what it's intended to do, and what we're invited into, so that our hearts come into alignment with that truth, that we're not just here to be good religious people who come to services on Sunday. We're here as agents and combatants in a spiritual war that God is sending out to advance the kingdom and occupy until he comes. In just a minute, we're going to invite our prophetic team up to minister to us today, and we're going to pray in just a moment. And here's the deal. Anywhere God's love and his power is released or is at work, that's the kingdom. And so coming in here today, Jesus said, "Where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there among you." Guess what? The kingdom is here. The kingdom is among you. And we're getting ready to experience a demonstration of that as the Spirit of God lays words of encouragement on our prophetic team's heart. And so right now you're engaging with the kingdom. And this is part of the culture God wants to release into the communities, into our families, and into our world, as God infuses more of heaven down here on earth. Isn't that incredible? That we get to be a part of that even now, bringing heaven to earth. Well, let's bow for prayer as we go into a time of just ministry in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to thank God for releasing the kingdom here as Jim begins to play quietly on the piano. We're going to wait on the prophetic team to hear from the Lord. And if this is new to you, essentially, we're just going to have our team that's been practicing and pursuing the gifts of the prophetic gifts to just hear from God, hear from the Holy Spirit, a word of encouragement that he may lay on his their hearts for you. They may just speak that word over you. And we just ask that you'd prayerfully consider what is said. If it doesn't connect with you, if it doesn't resonate with you, then just leave it at that. But if that connects with your heart, reveals something, then just understand it's God communicating to you, wanting to encourage you right where you are today. And this is part of the way he releases his kingdom, by sharing his heart on a personal level with each of us. So Lord God, I just thank you that you didn't leave us defenseless. God, that you not only conquered, but you left us equipped and empowered for the ministry that you have for us, which is to continue to take ground from the enemy, to set people free, to plunder the enemy camp. And I'm so thankful, God, that what you plunder, the enemy can't take back. I'm so thankful, God, that what you do in the world can't be undone. Even if the enemy attacks, even if he wins a battle, he wins a skirmish, God, I know that ultimately victory is yours, because you never lose a battle. You never lose a war. And I pray, God, that even now that our hearts would be free from distraction, Lord, that your Spirit would continue to move, that you would anoint our prophetic team, God, that you'd give them clarity in their reception of the word and in their transmission of the interpretation, God. And that as you encourage hearts and lives here today, God, that you would still be exalted, Jesus, that you'd be glorified as your kingdom takes root in this place today. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would release your power now, and your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.
From all of us at Vertical Life Church, we want to say thank you for listening. If this ministry has blessed you in any way, please consider making a tax-deductible donation to www.blchurch.tv/give. Thank you, and God bless.